Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And got Mayor Bronson on the phone. How you doing, sir?
I am doing far better than I deserve, I'll tell you that.
You know, it's interesting. I thought I was the only one who experienced technical difficulties on cell phones, such as when you call or text, it doesn't ring, and all of a sudden it's showing that you're getting a message. And so that's what happened to you, I take it.
Yeah, that's why I'm late. I'm driving back to Anchorage from Palmer, just bought a snowmobile trailer, so sorry if you hear road noise. I can...
That's okay. Hey, great. You know, you're still experiencing life. We've got all this snow. You bought a snow machine trailer. Good for you.
Yeah, got a great 26-foot covered snow machine trailer.
Now, you see...
Been waiting a lot of years for that.
You want to know why you're a real Alaskan? Because you use the term snow machine.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we've always called him. If you're, you know, some Great Lake State guy, you're call them snowmobiles.
I've been at it snow machines since the 60s, late 60s.
Yeah.
We always called it skidooing.
Exactly. So did I.
Yeah.
Boy, are you going down memory row for me. Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How goes this endeavor of yours, really? You know, there's only 17 of you in it now, so what the heck?
Yeah, 17, 18, whatever it takes. No, it's going well, contrary to what some folks are saying. We're polling number one on the Republican side. I am behind the Tom Begich on the left, but then he's kind of over there almost alone. Of course, the field is filling up on the left.
Yeah.
And so they're thinning out. So we haven't polled since JKT got in. But yeah, on the right, we're ahead. We're happy where we're at, and we're doing great.
Good for you. You know, yeah. Tom Begich, excuse me why I retch a little bit, because that would be a disaster for the state of Alaska. You know, we have self-imposed issues. You know, they're talking about an income tax on us. And,
yeah. You
know, this is my personal thought. Once they do that, you know, we have a declining population base. Once you do that, it's really going to start declining in a much hurried way.
Well, and you look at, they say, well, we've got to have one. Well, it's kind of like a drug addict saying, I need one more hit. If you look at the states that are prosperous, so let's compare Florida and Florida with California, or Texas with California, or New York. The states that are declining have fairly high income tax rates, and the states that don't have income taxes are prosperous. And that, I think that comes from a conflict or a difference in ideology. You know, less government, you're more prosperous. Now, I'm not a believer in no government. I just think government needs to be lean and mean and do what it's supposed to do very well, but probably do, or actually do, as little things as possible. So, the argument that somehow an income tax is going to improve things in the state is financial, fiscal folly. It doesn't make sense because there's no record or no history of that.
Fiscal absurdity. You're absolutely right. And,
yeah.
You know, the more money that a person can keep in their pocket, the better the person does. And, you know, like you said, look at the comparisons with states that have an income tax. You know, New York,
yep.
California, Oregon. You know, Oregon, you have 3/4 of the state that wants to separate, not in population base, but in area.
Right.
From the eastern side to the west, from the western side, because of the unique things that come out of the western side that has a population base.
Well, Washington is in, so my wife is from Spokane, I lived there for 4 years, and there is this notion that they want to form the state So Eastern Oregon, Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho want to form a state called the State of Columbia. Now, this is going way back in the archives with the capital at Spokane. When I was there, that was the sentiment. And they're running away from, you know, because Washington State geographically is quite conservative. The trouble is you've got Kirkland, you've got King County, that are extremely liberal. And in Oregon even is the same somewhat. So people are running away. We see what's going on in New York State and California. They're running away from both those states. And where are they going? They're going to Tennessee. They're going to Texas. And they're going to Florida. They're running away from the nonsense, the political nonsense. And it's getting real serious.
And right now, you know, in my opinion, we just witnessed political nonsense in the state house from the Democrats that are in the majority by one or two people, when they're looking at a subsidiary budget of needing $70 million to ticket it for road construction, matching, you know, the 92% of road construction funds from the federal government. And the House Democrats took a $70 million bill and made it $497 million. Oh, and we want to have a state income tax.
Yeah, it's, you know, government, and I have committed to this. Josh, you know, he's a numbers guy.
Oh, yeah.
When we get in, we're just going to have to do an audit. You know, people say, well, Dave, what are you going to do about this and that and this? And I go, I'll give you my principles because I can speak in general to those. But what are you going to do in the specific is the challenge, because you don't make a decision if you don't have the data. You need an audit to get the data to make your decision.
And it takes you about 6 months, if not a year, on something like that to really know fiscally what is going on and what can be improved immediately and long term.
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to you and Josh getting in there. I really am.
Yeah, I'm real excited with Josh on board. He's focused like a laser on election reform, and certainly growing the permanent fund so we can grow to the point where we have the money to pay the constitutional full PFD. That's what has to happen, because right now we've screwed this up for so many decades that the money isn't there. There's people that say, "Well, I'll cut the government." And I think we spoke about this last time I was on your show. They'll say, well, we'll just cut the government and get you to your full PFD. Well, your full PFD is about 600,000 people times $4,000, roughly, which is your full PFD, our full PFD. That's $2.4 billion. If you take all of government, all the W-2s in government, all of it, it's $1.2 billion. So if you eliminate every last state employee, you're only one half of 1 year's full PFD. But on the flip side, we've got the ability of growing our way out of this and doing so rather quickly if we just get a higher return rate on the full PFD and protect the full PFD as much as possible. And that's kind of put it behind a wall of constitutional protection.
Yeah, there's a way to get to a full PFD, but it's not by cutting everything else out. It's by growing what you're talking about, the pool itself.
Yeah, and so right now about 65% of our government or our budget comes out of the financial returns on our permanent fund. The rest comes from oil. So while we need to grow the oil portion, the small portion, we need to really focus on growing the big portion, which is the 65-70% of our budget, which is the permanent fund. And you can't grow it if you're not protecting it. So we need to put it behind a constitutional wall of protection, and that's what Josh and I are proposing. That's what needs to be done. That's what our advisors are telling us. And we'll get there. I think people want to protect it, but attacking oil companies, the people that the people that are paying our bills, that one-third, that 35%,
yeah,
just keeping you, we keep going to that well, and guess what? If you pull $100 million out of, say, Hillcorp, that's $100 million of investment that's not going into the North Slope or Cook Inlet.
Yeah.
Is it our oil? Yes, it is. Is it our natural gas? Yes, it is. We don't have the means of getting it out of the ground. So our partners, which is, you know, Conoco, Hillcorp, the other companies, we have to partner with them. In my sense of business, you don't keep attacking your business partners.
No, you don't.
Changing the rules. You give them financial, fiscal stability so they can do the long-term capital investment, which will actually grow our economy by extracting more wealth out from that which is below our feet, our gas and our oil and our minerals. Our minerals are really growing in importance, and thanks to the federal administration, we're emphasizing that now, and that's a good thing.
Mayor, we're going to take a quick commercial break, okay?
Okay.
Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Mayor Dave Bronson on the phone. We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
It's the Backyard Country Barbecue, Thursday, July 16th at the Tanana Valley State Fair, starring the band Perry, with special guests Trey Pendley, Kendall Marvel, and Ken Peltier. It's the Backyard Country Barbecue, July 16th at the Tanana Valley State Fair with the band Perry. Tickets are on sale now at ericksonevents.com. The 14th annual Backyard Country Barbecue, being brought to you by Value Liquor, Coors, Crown Royal, and Monster. This is an Erickson Unlimited production.
How can you free your team from time-consuming office tasks? Amazon Business. Smart business buying tools enable buyers to find and purchase items fast so they can focus on strategy and growth. Free up your teams and focus on your future. Learn more at AmazonBusiness.com.
Even if you've given up on your New Year's resolutions, one health habit that's easy to keep is Active Liver from New Nordic. Active Liver protects your liver so you can enjoy life to the fullest. Online at Amazon, in stores at CVS, Walgreens, and now GNC.
Jackson Hewitt handles your taxes and your stress. Inhale on no surprise price of $149 or less. Exhale, paying more for complicated taxes. You won't. Inhale new tax law knowledge. Exhale, missing out on your biggest refund? Certainly not. Don't miss paying $149 or less. Rest easy. Jackson Hewitt's got your taxes. Guaranteed. Limited time offer for new clients on federal terms. Participating locations only. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com/149.
KFAR Weather.
Daytime highs approaching 18 below. Today, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 42 below. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 13 below. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mayor Dave Bronson on the phone with me, who's traveling with a snow machine trailer. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, my friend. Very well.
You know, I was just thinking here, we have sort of a stopgap of revenue that's planned for increases as these new developments come online in the next 3 to 4 years. But there's one big one that I don't know if you can concentrate on it once you're governor or how you can do it. But ADA owns 50% of the leases in Anwar. 50%. Now ponder that. When the Biden administration came in, they were going to be, they you know, they let everyone know that they were going to shut down Anwar. When Trump was opening up, he was shutting it down. So they had a lease sale, and Ada was the only bidder on 50% of the leases out there, and they got them.
Right.
And so, you know, it's sort of interesting because the state, you know, has made new arrangements to get 50% of the revenue off of, I believe, I might be off on the numbers, on federal property for Alaska leases. Yet Ada owns the leases, so it's sort of like the best of both worlds.
Ada, and they pay back to the state a portion of their, it's not unlike a dividend, but they pay back a portion of their profit.
Yeah.
Back to the state, and it's a good working relationship, not unlike what we had at the municipality of Anchorage, which is ACDA. So it's a commingling, I should say, or a partnership between the government and private corporations. I think it's working well in this instance.
Yeah, and at the same time, one of the interior legislators, Ashley Carrick, she's a big Democrat. She submitted House Bill 124 to basically, you know, put bureaucratic supervision into Ada, which would mean they don't do anything over $10 million, they have to get legislative consent and approval to do any involvement or anything over $10 million. So just be wary of that when you're governor.
Yeah, that would be disastrous because is what they're doing, and we know the reason they're doing that. And the reason is they want to provide an environmental input onto the decision, so they don't want to invest in those things that would, say, produce carbon dioxide. Of course, only the left would believe that carbon dioxide, that very fundamental block of life, on the circle of life, I guess you would call it, is a pollutant. How do you get to the point where you believe this nonsensical notion that carbon dioxide is a pollutant?
Yeah, the footprint that we have, it's so minuscule. If you want to start removing carbon monoxide, you better go to Russia, China, Brazil, and India and start there.
Yeah, start with the big producers. But again, never concede the notion that carbon dioxide is a pollutant in any way. Is it considered a greenhouse gas? Yes, but it's microscopic. It doesn't even rise to the level of cloud cover as far as impacting our climate.
True.
But somehow they think that controlling that is carbon dioxide is somehow going to change the Earth's climate. It's nonsensical. In fact, we're in a shortage of carbon dioxide throughout the world at 420 parts per million. We've been as high as, historically, we've been in the 3,000, historically, not in the history of mankind, but before that, we know how much carbon dioxide we've had in the atmosphere, and these people are kind of, I don't know, it's embarrassingly foolish.
In your travels, in your campaign, what are the items that people, not concerns, but the items people bring up to you that are, majority of the items?
Well, one thing that is, a couple things actually, that came out to be as a surprise. One is the notion, the problem that we're facing with trawling. And, it was never a big item. And then polling-wise or anything, we were, and then I get in, and everywhere I go from Homer to Fairbanks and to Ketchikan, they say this factory commercial trawling is a really big problem. And, you know, the more we look into it, I came to the conclusion that there is a massive problem somewhere in fishing.
Yeah.
Because they're reducing the amount of take, especially on the subsistence, on the sport fishermen and the small commercial fishermen, but there's no reduction in the take on the big thing, which is factory trawlers. So I think, fish are supposed to be managed Article 8 is real clear. We have to manage our fisheries for the max benefit of Alaska citizens, and we seem to be doing it for the max benefit of large trawling corporations from the lower 48.
Here's something for you to look at. This is what was, you know, this statistically, I don't know if this is correct or not, but it was reported to me that 50% of the workers and companies that are involved in our fisheries are, you know, based out of the lower 48, and 70%, if not 75% of the revenue goes to the lower 48.
Well, I'd be surprised if it wasn't more than 75% of.
Again, I don't want to. Either would I.
Factory trawlers, they come in and they do everything. The fish come in the back of the ship, and there's videos galore on this.
Yeah.
I spent 2 weekends ago. I spent a lot of time watching these videos, and the amount of fish they can. And I'm not begrudging them their technological success or their ability to catch more fish. That's their job. But as stewards of the
resource
of the resource, our job is to make sure we have fish for every generation, and that's the ones to come. I want my kids, I want my grandkids to be able to catch, you know, a 60 or 70 pound king like it was when I got here 35 years ago, and they can't. The reason they can't is the fisheries are closed.
Yeah.
I want our Alaska neighbors along the YK, Yukon, Kuskokwim, I want them to be able to use their fish wheels, go to fish camp, and catch kings and chums.
We feed ourselves first.
Yes, we feed ourselves first, and it seems like we are excessively concerned about the profits of large non-Alaskan corporations. I'm really interested in Alaskans making a lot of money, Alaskan corporations, but what about us? And the important thing is this: the Constitution directs us to manage it for the max benefit of us.
Yeah, it does.
That's going to be my focus. That's Josh's focus, and we're going to move on that.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a commercial break here, sir, if that's okay with you, if you'd hang on.
Yep.
They put me in this purple padded room at 35 below outside with 10 feet of snow on the ground. So not that I don't have an attitude, but I got an attitude.
Yeah, we're only one below here.
Yeah. Oh, don't press my attitude, sir. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. Going to have a little bit of Genesis for you, and whether that works for you or not, it's not up to me. I don't pick this stuff. Then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials. And then I'm going to piss you off because we're going to have some more weather. And the weather just is, it's just not what we want yet. About another week out, we'll start hitting March and getting some good weather. But we'll be back in a bit.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Former President Bill Clinton sitting for a closed-door deposition with the House Oversight Committee today in Chappaqua, New York, answering questions about his ties to the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. House Oversight Committee ranking member Robert Garcia says with today's deposition, he's hoping President Trump eventually will come in for questioning.
So it's time for the president to answer questions about why files are missing from the DOJ, why there's been a White House cover-up, and why we continue in that administration to call this investigation a hoax.
Well, today marks the first time a sitting or former president has appeared before Congress for questioning. President Trump, what do you think about this?
I don't like seeing him deposed, but, they certainly went after me a lot more than that.
The president's name appears in the Epstein files multiple times alongside former President Clinton, and also a day after former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton gave testimony yesterday. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTVF reports as the city of Fairbanks continues to see heavy snowfall amid a series of February winter storms. An official with the city said that if their roofs are built properly, property owners do not yet have to worry about them being damaged by the current snow load. City building official Christopher Falk said all buildings built in Fairbanks since 1994 were constructed to safely accommodate a minimum of 50 pounds of snow per square foot, and before that, 40 pounds per square foot stood as the standard. Using measurements of water content in the snow from Creamers Field Migratory Waterfowl Refuge, Falk determined that at this point, roofs in the city should be seeing about 26 pounds per square inch of snow load. Whether someone's roof is flat or sloped, Falk said, should not make a difference to its ability to hold a certain snow load, and reaching 50 pounds per square foot does not mean roof failure is imminent. Falk estimated that roughly 80% of buildings in Fairbanks were built before 1994. But make sure to check on your sheds and any other outbuildings.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Dr. Kim Driftmeyer again, board certified and fellowship trained spine surgeon here at McKinley, where we have all the services needed to keep your back, neck, and spine in good health. X-rays and MRI to help answer those questions about why your back might be feeling the way it does, physical therapy, OMM with Drs. Wright and Malcolm, and even spine injections and surgeries right here under one roof at McKinley. The majority of our patients get treated without the need for surgery, and for those that do need surgery, you can take care of it right here in your hometown. So if your back or neck are bothering you, come see me and the spine team here at McKinley Orthopedics, Sports Medicine, and Spine. Open every day but Sunday.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mayor Dave Bronson in the studio with me. Not in the studio. He's driving a car with a snow machine trailer on it. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, my friend. I'm doing great. I did not know you had that much snow. I listened to your commercial, and they're talking about snow loads on your roofs. Got to be careful. A couple winters ago, we had record snowfall. We had 132 inches, and we lost some buildings. We had one death in Anchorage because of that snow load issue.
Yeah, and we over the last 5 years, we lose a few buildings every year. And what I tell you know, at our last, I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, I said, as the spring comes on, when it starts to melt, it gets heavier. So you better start, you know, once it gets from 40 below to 10 above, get out there and get your roofs cleaned off if you can. And you're starting to see people ask for, you know, snow rakes and snow shovelers for roofs. So we're used to it, but until it happens, you know, you're not ready for it until it happens something bad, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like we have a lot of foundational issues that sort of kicked down the road or not being able to be addressed or addressed wrong. And one of those I look at that does not affect me in any way, shape, or form, but it affects a large portion of the state is our marine transportation program, our ferry system.
Right.
And just curious, you know, I know just enough about it to sound stupid to someone who doesn't know anything about it. So, but I'll ask you your thoughts, sir.
Well, the thing to refer to is what's called the 2045 plan. And I met with the director of the Marine Highway System a couple weeks ago in Juneau. And that plan has been well thought out. We've taken historically a very haphazard approach to the Marine Highway System. And so we've got the wrong We've got the wrong boats, ships often, the wrong size. You know, we tried to go to a high-speed ferry mechanism.
Yeah.
And that wasn't optimal. It's creating problems for us now. There's a whole host of problems, but there is a plan in place. It's the 2045 plan. It'll get us to the 8 ships that are right-sized for our markets. And especially in the Southeast, that really needs to be stabilized. They need the confidence, those, you know, all of our Southeast friends, they need the confidence that they're going to have a reliable ferry system where they get the frequency plus the volumes that they need to run their businesses and move their goods and services.
You know, our DOT, you know, that falls under the auspices of the Department of Transportation, Ryan Anderson. Yes. And at the same time, he has a road system. And at the same time, he has a rural airport system. A very, very in-depth, complicated issue.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the next highest state that owns airports has got like 70 or 72. We've got, I think it's right now, the count is 239 airports that the state owns and therefore maintains. It's very complex, and I'm not advocating getting rid of the airports.
No, not at all.
Is what I'm saying is it's an extra burden on DOTPF that that we have that no other state is faced with, and it certainly adds to our challenges as a government. And I came out, I was just recently the director of Ted Stevens International Airport, and these infrastructure points are very, very important. Like in Anchorage, 1 out of 8 jobs in Anchorage are tied directly to Ted Stevens International Airport.
Yeah. And so at the same time,
and they're a lifeline to the small villages, the small village airports, the small town airports, those are lifelines. So the notion that we wouldn't maintain them or we get rid of them, that's not a good idea.
You know, it's interesting. I like to, you know, we have Anchorage and Fairbanks has a regional rivalry, and I like it in hockey. But one thing I learned real fast as soon as I graduated from college was Anchorage is our financial capital. If Anchorage is doing well, the state is doing well. And you, as a previous mayor of basically our financial capital, you know more detail of what needs to be done in our state probably than any other candidate.
Well, yeah, I'm deeply familiar with the government of Anchorage, which is about 40% of the population of the state. In fact, the mayor of Anchorage, that job is the closest job to the governor's job.
So yeah,
I've got a good handle on what it takes to govern that and those relationships between state and municipal government at a very high level. And it's complex. It's difficult. There's an unlimited supply of competing interests for resources, for money. And you, as government, as the leader of government, the governor's got to come in and strike those balances. And
yeah.
Not everyone is going to be happy. It just isn't going to happen.
I look right now at the Port of Alaska. You know, we're one earthquake away from us really being in trouble about shipping and receiving in the state of Alaska.
Yeah, we're one bad docking of a cruise ship or a cargo ship. We're one earthquake away from the single biggest problem in the state. And I know, you know, folks outside of Anchorage, we don't care about your port. We don't want to hear about it. Well, I'm just telling you, you'd better want to know about it, because if that port fails, and it is an engineering nightmare right now structurally.
Yeah.
If that fails, this is the numbers that we came up with. They're very, very big numbers. If that port fails, not less than half the population of the state is going to have to leave the state until we get the port rebuilt. And people are going, what are you talking about? And I says, well, 95% of everything that comes into this state, to include food, lumber, building materials, diapers, everything, 95% comes across that port. And when I came into office as mayor, I thought I was going to be dealing with things like, you know, homelessness and a lot of other things, you know, full time. This is what I found out when they briefed me on the status of that construction project. the rebuilding of the port, that became the number one priority immediately because of the threat. And the threat was very real, very great. And we came together. I made some decisions, and I reassigned the responsibility for that $2 billion construction project. I gave it to an engineering firm instead of a municipal employee who had never built a
port.
And now it's back on track.
I still can't believe that they had the municipality of Anchorage as the design team on that, but that's life, you know. It's like,
we did that a few years ago. It's in good shape, and right now we should have one of the two docks seismically secure or structurally sound enough for an earthquake in the end of first quarter of 2028. So we can avoid the earthquakes or bad dockings or things like that until the end of first quarter 2028, we'll be fine.
Okay. Where's your next group of travel on your campaign?
Well, coming up, I'd have to look at the calendar, to be honest with you. we've got multiple events on the peninsula. We've got, and not all of them are published. Some of them are private meetings, but we've got a outdoor council venue tomorrow night. It's a mayor's, a governor's venue, a debate, as it were. And that's in Anchorage on tomorrow. And then we've got another one coming up in Fairbanks in March. And so I'm already scheduled to come to Fairbanks, I think, three times in March. And then Josh is coming down here, I think, twice.
Good for you two. Good for you two. You know, it's great. You know, I know Josh quite well, and it's just, I think you made a very, very wise choice, a very good choice. And it's just great seeing him blossom into this new aspect of his life that was just extraordinarily offered to him and what he's doing with it. It's just great to see.
Well, I think you're familiar with the story, David. I offered it to him. He turned me down a few times. I guess I'm not a good salesman, but he says, I'm not ready. And I says, because the pitch I gave him was, hey, come and work this with me. I could really use you, your financial expertise, your business acumen, your youth, because he's got three kids under five. So he understands the challenges our young families are facing. And I says, if you come and do this with me, you will most likely be sued. You'll be attacked in the media, and you'll never get more than 50% of the people of the state to like you. And why don't you come on board? And I mean, I just had to tell him the truth because my experience as mayor, that's what it is.
Yeah.
This is hard, hard business.
Now,
you're going to fix the problems. You're going to get a lot of people mad. But eventually he came on board. I kept saying, well, I'll call you back in a few days when you come up with the right answer. And eventually got to yes. And we've been working hand in glove ever since.
Now, I'm a real estate broker. When I write an offer, I'm always under the thought of you never accept the first offer unless you're desperate. So, and if they do accept the first offer, the person put in the offer says, I could have got it for less. So with that thought, good. He wouldn't say negotiated with you, but he played hard to get. How's that? He played hard to get.
Well, he's got a young family. He's got a great business. This is going to be, there's no bones about it. This is a sacrifice. He's naturally a good communicator. He's better than I am, I think. He's very good with the financial numbers, and that's the kind of stuff that we need. He knew it was going to be a sacrifice, and I didn't sugarcoat it. Like I said, I told him this is, you're going to come along, and this is all going to be bad for you. But come on board and do this, and he did on the third try there, and we've been doing great ever since.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break. I don't know if we want to stick around for the last portion of it.
I'm certainly happy to.
Okay, Fairbanks, we're going to take a break. We're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. I have Mayor Dave Bronson, a candidate for governor, on the phone with me, and he's being totally Alaskan. He's driving around with a trailer, a snow machine trailer on his truck. So we'll get back after these messages.
On KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, and your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Price RV. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Finally, the sun is coming out. Great reason to smile, so show yours off with help from Affordable Dental Care. From cleaning and fillings to root canals, crowns, even veneers. Yep, they do it all. And as the name implies, it's very affordable. And if you suffer from dental anxiety, no worries. The staff at Affordable Dental know how to put your mind at ease and make your procedure a pleasant one. See all their services online at adcak.com. Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue downtown.
Oh, we love our cars.
It's kind of a squeak, squeak sound.
Yeah, the engine makes a tick, tick, tick noise.
It's got no heat, and it's winter.
It goes bump, bump, bam.
It seems to be leaking something.
Problems we've all had with our cars. So get it to Pearson Auto with their state-of-the-art facility. They'll quickly diagnose the problem and get your rig humming along again. Only from Pearson Auto. Off the Rich near North Pole and in West Fairbanks by the airport. Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
Hey, why is this light on?
KFAR weather.
Lots of sunshine today with daytime highs approaching 18 below. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 42 below. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 13 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mayor Dave Bronson on the phone with me. How you doing, sir?
I am doing great.
Now,
doing better. I got to correct you on that. I'm not driving around with a snowmobile trailer. We bought it, and we left it in the valley in Palmer. We're going back this afternoon to get it. But it was a dream of mine to get a long enough trailer. We bought a 26. I got a few Scandic super wides, and they're awful long. And now I finally have a covered trailer for those, because I'm so sick of putting covers on snow machines and hooking them up in the slop and the sink. So, anyways, I just wanted to correct the record there. I'm not driving around town pulling a trailer.
Well, I'm glad I'm not giving false information out about your travels right now. My goodness. Now, but yeah. In your travels as a candidate, you brought up people. A high item on their list is the fish industry. What are some of the other items that have come up that might have surprised you that are frequent?
Well, this grand jury issue, which is really big, it seems like on the peninsula, the peninsula, the valley, and Fairbanks, but especially on the peninsula, this is a big thing. And, you know, when I first started hearing about this several years ago, I thought it was, maybe a little bit of conspiracy stuff and, the Supreme Court, possibly there's some corruption going on in there. So I started digging into it here, 5 or 6 months ago, and I started talking to what I consider very reasonable people, actually a couple of lawyers. And I go, what is this? And these people, very stable, not prone to conspiracy theories, and they said there's something really wrong. There's really wrong. And I don't want to get into the particulars.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to implicate anyone. But we are going to get to the bottom of this. My goal is to create a commission, not unlike the Mullen Commission back in the 90s in New York State, and bring in co-chaired by a couple of very reliable Alaskans who are trusted, and quite possibly or probably outside investigators that will support them. And we got to get to the bottom of this, because it's again, it's not unlike the election system. There's just too many people that just don't trust the judicial process anymore in the state, and that's not good. And maybe this is all nothing.
But it's best to find out if it is or isn't.
Yeah, let's just get to the bottom of it. It's not that expensive. Let's just do an investigation, do an inquiry through this commission mechanism, get to the bottom of it, and then publish it and be transparent and move forward. And that's my goal. That's the process. Josh and I are, again, in full agreement on that, and move forward.
You know, it's interesting with the campaign fundraising everyone's doing and what I call the report card that this came out. you know, Matt Halala, good guy. He's been on the show here a few times, and boy, he wrote a big check.
Yeah, that was that. And I would love to give some folks some scale here. So we look at ours and our target. We met our target. Our minimum target, we exceeded that. We didn't get to our maximum target. But compared to Governor Dunleavy's wins, we raised twice what he did, and we have twice, as of the report deadline, we have twice as much money as he had on hand, and he won. And now we're at a level where we're exponentially above that. You know, we're in the millions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of crazy, but to each his own. You know, if you've got the money, you can do it. I look at the number of people that we have and the average size contribution and where they come from, and we're very high on Alaska contributors, you know, rank and file. We're a grassroots campaign. We like to say we're built for this. We're not bought for this. And
that's a good way to look at it.
We're going to move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, built for this, not bought. So, we don't want to buy a campaign. We want to earn a campaign. We want to earn this win, and that's how we're moving forward.
So when you're in these, I don't know if you call them debates or you call them forums or whatever you call them.
Forums, yeah.
Yeah. How many people usually show up?
Well, sometimes I've been on when there's, I don't know, 8 or 9.
exactly.
We've been in quite a few. And that's why it has to be a forum. You can't have seven people debating
each other,
six other people.
Yeah.
So but you know, this one tomorrow is smaller. I think it's only 4 or 5 in the forum that were approved to get in, and at the AOC. And I'm looking forward to it. We hope to get an endorsement out of the Outdoor Council.
That's a great organization. That really is, and
yes, it is.
You know, they have a lot of good people who are expert on the outdoor issues, and there's so many. There are so many, so that'll be a good forum, and I hope you do well. Who else is going to be at it, or do you know?
You know, Matt's going to be there. Shelley's going to be there. I don't know about Nancy. It was a scored thing, the way it was explained to me. You filled out a questionnaire. It was a very involved questionnaire, to be honest with you. And then they scored you on that. So people think, well, there was the board voted. No, I'm told that they set up their standards for selection for this, and it was a point thing. And they had predetermined, I think it was 5 or 6. They just said going in, top 5 or top 6 are going to get into this thing, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Good to hear. You know, our access, federal access, you know, depending on what president is in, you know, it's we survived the Biden administration. That's the only thing I can say is we survived the Biden administration, and thank God we didn't have a second Biden 2. And yeah, so, you know, things like, go ahead, sir.
Well, when you say we survived it, and I says, well, how well? It's a matter of degrees.
Yeah.
And they shut down our state. They treat us like a colony. My contention has always been Alaska is not a colony. We're a state. We should have the right to control our lands, manage our resources, manage our fishing game, access to our waters. And we shouldn't go hand in glove or hand in hat to the federal government every time we want to do something in this state. And it was particularly bad under the Biden administration. 70 executive orders directed specifically at our state. Thankfully, you know, President Trump, whether you love him or hate him, that's not the point. The point is he freed up this state for development and for managing, getting control of our own state, just like every other state has.
You know, I travel. That's
what every other state has.
I travel often. I went to school in California for college. And this is how I explain it to them, what Biden, you know, versus Alaska. He did approximately 95 executive orders. 70 of them, or 75% of them, were about resource shutdown in your largest state with the most resources.
Yep.
Now ponder that. And that sort of puts it in a perspective. They can start getting a grasp of what we went through.
Yeah. What's his objective? It's highly destructive to the state of Alaska. We're treated like a colony. We're treated like someone's little private reserve, someone's park. And don't get me wrong, I love the tourists.
Half the industry leaves and goes to Hawaii in the winter.
Yeah. I just figured, I say this on the stump. I say this: if you're not getting a permanent fund, if you're not living here in the winter, if you're not sitting going to work at 35 below or 10 below or whatever it is in the wintertime, you got nothing to say about how we run our state.
Yeah.
Butt out.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not shuffling your snow this weekend, I don't want to hear from you.
Yep. Just come on up. Leave your money. We love doing business with you, but when it comes to policy, how we run our state, kindly just butt out.
Yeah. Well, we got about 2 minutes left, sir. I really appreciate you taking the time to call in. How do you want to end it?
Well, this is a race with a lot of people, but there's only a few serious contenders. I ask that your folks do, consider me, consider the experience that I have. I'm the only one with large-level political executive experience. I mentioned that earlier. The job that I had under very difficult political circumstances at the city, I think, prepared me very well for the governor's job. It's the closest job to it. And, there's people that are bragging in this day and age. I'm not from the government. I have no political experience. Vote for me. Well, you know, all the people I've hired, I've never hired one who bragged about not having any experience in the job that I was hiring them for. It's kind of a strange world, politics.
There you go.
I just ask that your listeners consider us. Josh and I, we're clearly up to this task, and we've just got the best interests of the people of Alaska at heart, and we just want to make sure that we have the same access to our resources that everyone else has in this country. And really simple, I just want people to be able to catch more fish, shoot more moose, and enjoy the great outdoors in this state.
We're in Alaska for a reason. Let's enjoy it the way we can. Don't restrict us.
Exactly. Yep.
Sir, you have a great day. Congratulations on getting your super trailer you've always wanted. You have a great weekend, and we will talk soon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And Fairbanks, that is our show for today. You have a great weekend. It's going to be cold, but I'm going to cook a steak anyway outside. You have a great day. I'll see you on Monday.
Your voice, your station. This